We've been working on Kriya Shema. I know for myself, I'm Makir Tov to the Olam. Things that we do every day that are Yisaidis, often because we've been doing them every single day, they lose the importance, they lose that sense of meaning. And we've discovered that Shema is part of our DNA. Rabbi Tanchum in the Gemara in Brachos on Samach Gimel says, against what all Mashkichim usually say, that it's about percentages, right? Are you 80% better? Are you 90% better? It's all about progress. He says when it comes to Kriya Shema, it's about having a perfect record, which is very hard to swallow. I mean, but what if I'm very tired? It seems from Rabbi Tanchum, doesn't matter. There are certain things in life that you just don't miss, right? Some people will maybe miss a plane, not too many. Less people will miss a ski trip, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is setting up something over here that's part of our very being. You don't miss breathing. You can miss a meal. You can miss a meal, you can even miss two or three meals, but you can't miss breathing. I mean, as soon as you stop breathing, you're waiting to breathe again, right? There are certain things that are be'etzem part of us. And Shema is part of us. And we discovered last time, the Gemara in Chagiga says, this is not just philosophy, learning that Hashem is one, as opposed to two, as opposed to three, Rachmana Litzlan. It's about Hashem being number one in our lives, which really means Hashem is the only one. And when a person gets up and says that Hashem is one, he's the only one in his life, and he goes to sleep like that, it sets up a context for his entire life, bookends of every single day that we have. And we learned more. We learned that right after we learned about Shema, and we have Yaakov Avinu saying, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Voed, the response to Shema, if Hashem is number one, then there's Malchus, there's a kingdom of Hashem in the world. Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Voed, right afterwards, it's about loving Hashem, Vahavtas Hashem. Not about Yiras Hashem. Shema is about loving Hashem. And we discussed that Ahava is Gematria Echad. To love something is to attach to that thing, to be part of that thing. Totally connected. B'chol Levavcha, we have different struggles. We have our Yetzer HaTov and our Yetzer Hara. Chazal say we have to bring them both in. Unite forces. Be one with Hashem who's one. B'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, to recognize that sometimes it's scary, maybe we'll have the choice to give up our lives for Hashem, to realize there's another world after this that's connected to this world. Rabbi Akiva left the world be'echad, and he was smiling. He was as happy as could be because he saw no division between worlds. Everything was echad, was one. And then we saw b'chol mo'odecha. Sometimes people sell out because of money, pressures, fame. B'chol mo'odecha, a person will say, I'll be with Hashem for this, but give me some room, Hashem. I want to be like this for now. You know, I'll get more money. It'll go better, right? Musicians sell out. Magazines sell out. I was debating whether to give you a bunch of reasons how magazines sell out, but I just don't have strength after last week's rant. You're going to have to figure out, you can write a list of, I have a lot to say about magazines. I like the magazines, but I also like getting angry at them while I read them. It's part of the fun. Okay? Anyone who wants to come later for a private rant about magazines, magazines also sell out. Right? B'chol mo'edecha. But there's another b'chol mo'edecha. There's another one that Chazal say. And that is, b'chol mida shemoydedin lai. Whatever hand you're dealt by Hashem, whatever happens in your life, and there are all sorts of ups and downs and roller coasters in life, a person has to love Hashem through everything. And I want to talk about a humbling experience that I had. I went to pay a shiva call by Rav Beigelizen, Yisrael Meir Beigelizen, who worked in our yeshiva as a teacher of Torah, and he also helps us in Cellular Israel. And I went there on Friday, and Olam Hafach Raisi, I saw something that's backwards of what I'm used to. Usually when you pay a Shiva call, you're supposed to give nechama to them. And he was giving everybody in the crowd nechama. Everyone was coming in a wreck. And he was busy giving everyone chizuk. And I wouldn't normally do this, but I saw that this was a very strong man. A person who's really connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I said, you know, I'm giving shmuzin on shma. It's very nice for me to say drushes. But what would you tell the Bachrim? This is somebody who just lost his 11 years old son, who was killed in a car crash, hit by a car. Rachmana Litzlan was in a coma and then was nifter, halach la'ilama. And he told me some fascinating things, and I think it's more important what he has to say than what I have to say. So I'd like to share with you some of his thoughts. First of all, he said that people have to realize what you gain from emuna. He says, who could really ever go through what I'm going through? And this is a person who also went through Yena Machla. He was sick, and Baruch Hashem, he got better. He should live by Bias Gael, Bibrius. But he said, without emuna, how does a person even have strength? He says, the first thing you have to tell the Bachram is emuna is good for you. Right? This is the classic thing today. You have to know what's good for you. If a person has emuna, they can handle everything. But then he started getting much deeper, and this is what I wanted to talk about, this point of kol mida shemoidim lecha. Ma'idecha is every part of your life. He said something strange happened to him during this whole period. He said he had challenges in his business. His business, he was on the top, and suddenly one seminary and another seminary, another company started taking some of his accounts. Right? It happens, competition. He was getting very nervous. And all of a sudden he says, whoa, 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 whoa. He goes, I'm handling the biggest crisis known to mankind. The threat of the loss of my son's life. And here, at the same time, a little Parnasa Dikazach is throwing me off. The same chizuk that I give myself about my son, I should give myself about Parnasa. So he said he realized something amazing. He says, it's not about bigness, Yonas, or small nisyanas. Fakert! Sometimes something such a big nisayan that you know to turn on the emuna button over there. Because you're zoned in. Ah, this is where I need emuna. But then something that you feel you're in control of that's smaller could dafka be harder. And he says, then there are the people who are parnassas from Shemayim. And they've got the emuna button in parnassa. But then a tragedy strikes and they can't see Hashem over there. And his message was, what I'm telling you is a Rashi ala Torah. He didn't quote the Rashi. He said it through Birchas HaShachar. He says, you have to thank Hashem for your eyes, Pekeach Ivrim. You have to thank Hashem for these basics, and you have to thank him, Malbish Arumim, for Parnasa, for a jacket, for a coat, for a beged, for pants. You have to be able to see Hashem, Bechol Ma'edecha, in every aspect of life. And you know what that means? Echad, one, to see that Hashem is one, not to have a life that's broken into pieces. Just like Hashem is one in our entire life. That was this amazing message from someone who can really give the shmooze over here. That's b'chol mo'edecha. And when you see people like this, you understand. You don't need to go to Eisha Torah seminar with Bible codes. When you see a Yid who's talking about his son in Yeshiva Shalmala with such confidence and strength, you actually take a glimpse into Olam Haba. You can actually ride the wave of his emuna and peer into a different world. It's an amazing thing. We have to realize everything in our life, the way we see it, is happening for a reason. And Mvahaya Im Shamaya. What do we say in V'hayim Shamaya? We say that if we do good, we're going to have a lot of things. We're going to have Parnasa, and Hashem's going to keep us in Eretz Yisrael. And if we don't, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. Things happen for a reason. And you're not going to believe this. I did something that I always said I shouldn't do and I wouldn't do, but I did it. I spoke at a Pesach program, right? Do this once in your life. You know, it's like I once substituted for a high school class once, right? There's certain things you only do once, right? So I once spoke at a Pesach program, right? And I said my thing. It was about Hakar Satov. I thought it was like a global message. And somebody comes up to me afterwards who was way too old for me to disagree with him. He was an older man. And he says, that was bad. Really bad. Like, you know, it's good. I was like about to like retire and everything. I was like, really bad. So what did I do to this poor man? He told me, he said, you said that things happen for a reason. I didn't say the Holocaust happens for a reason. I didn't say a particular tzara. I said things happen for a reason. That's a chutzpah. Who said things happen for a reason? What, you mean that things happen for a reason? When bad things happen, there's a reason? I was afraid to tell him. Buddy, you need to say Shema. How did you say Shema this morning? Hashem is one. The world that he created is one. There's one show in town. There's cause and effect. Do we know what it is? No, but things do happen for a reason. And there's an amazing gematria from the Leshem, the grandfather of Rav Eliashiv. The Chazon Ish said, the last of the Machadshim of the Mekubalim, the great Mekubalim. The word Elokeinu, we've talked about this in Emuna. Elokeinu and the word Emuna. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem is our Hashem. Elokeinu. The gematria is Emuna. Elokeinu and Emuna have the same gematria. What does the word Elokeinu mean? It means Hashem is my Hashem. Hashem cares about me. Hashem is involved in all aspects of my life, of our life. Elokeinu! And that is what it means to be saying Shema, to have a tfisan of all that's going on in our lives. All that's going on. And I want to say a chiddush, because somebody, a great person, asked a very challenging question after the shmooze. A couple weeks ago, I quoted a Gemara, a Mishnah in Brachos and Daf Tezayin that says that you can say, I wanted to prove that Shema is not davening. It's just saying a statement, like the Torah says, a statement of the king, hear ye, hear ye. And says the Mishnah, this is the proof, you can't daven on a tree. On a tree, you might fall off. You're davening, you could lose yourself, you fall off, you might. But Shema you could say. And my proof was, you see from here, Shema is not davening, right? So I was asked after the shmooze, Stark, you've been doing such a good job explaining how much you have to think about during Shema, right? All these things that we never even thought about. If somebody would think about all these things, they would for sure fall off this tree. Oh, I was stumped, right? That's a good point, right? But I think there's something very deep over here, and I spoke to my Rebbeim about it, and I believe it's a Davar Amiti. There's something amazing going on over here. When you start Shmona Esrei on a tree, you go like this. I mean, you have to keep your eyes open just so you don't fall off, right? But then you get a good position, and then you go like this, and you know where you are? Says the Shulchan Aruch, you try to leave your body. Whoa, that's like very intense. And you try to go and be connected to Hashem and your Bifnei Hashem, like the Rambam brings, the Shulchan Aruch. It's all about being somewhere with Hashem. You're going somewhere! You're leaving your reality and all the halachas of tefillah to get you there. You're leaving your reality and you're going somewhere else. That's davening, Shmona Esrei. And if you do that, you might very well, Rachmana Litzlan, fall off a tree. As you're traveling through the olamos, you might step off your tree too. Can happen. Shema is the exact opposite kavana. Shema is seeing Hashem here in your life. Seeing how he's one here. Seeing how you love him here. Seeing how he does things that you understand, things that you don't understand here. Shema is about being aware of where you are. It's a statement of kavana, of understanding what life is about. You can very much have your feet on the ground or have your feet on a tree when you're thinking these types of kavanas. These types of kavanas are understanding where you are. Where you are. And that's what it's all about. But now we're going to get into another topic. And this is a very crucial and painful topic, but it's also a Simchadik topic, but it's a hot topic. It's too hot of a topic. And that is the connection between Shema and waking up in the morning. Whoa, right? Get out your popcorn. We're talking about waking up, right? Waking up in the morning, since I'm little, has been the hardest thing for me, you should know. Never gets easier. Every day I have a war with my alarm clock. I get up very early, but I have these, like, you know, ideas. You can take a little break, you take a little nap right after your alarm, and then sometimes it works, sometimes you 2 hours later, right? Baruch Hashem, if I fall asleep for 2 hours, I still make Zman Kriya Shema. I get up pretty early. But I don't want you guys to, but it's still a war. It's a war. It's a war to get up. And Shema, what I would like to try to discuss with you is not that technically you need to get up for Shema. That Shema is the sugya of waking up. That's what the sugya is. Let's understand. In last week's parsha, Bilam gets a nevuah on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he sees the beauty of Klal Yisrael. Okay? Let's try to understand this, not like a third grader. Let's try to understand this like adults. Okay? Because this is very hard. Bilam sees Klal Yisrael, and he sends out the message that Hashem wants us to know of how much he loves us. And he says the following thing, Heinam Kilavi. They're like a nation of lions. Yakum, that they get up like a lion. Vikari Yisnaseh. Lo Yishkav Ad Yechol Teref. They don't go to bed until they eat their prey. Vidam Chalolim Yishteh. And the blood of the carcasses. What is this? Right? What exactly is this? It sounds like National Geographic. What is going on? Says Rashi, it gets even more difficult. Says Rashi. Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Am Kilavi Yakum Kishahin Omdim Mishenasam. When Klal Yisrael gets up, Shachris, Hein Miskabrim Kilavi, they get up like a lion, Lachtoifis a mitzvahs, to grab mitzvahs. Hurr! Like, wow, this is intense. Lilvosh talis, likro is a shma, ulaniya tefillin. Put on a talis, put on a tefillin, say shma. Wow, that's intense. Like a lion. What's going on over here? Lo yishkov, and then they don't go to bed. Balaila mitaso, adshu oichel mechadol kol mazik abalatarvo, until they kill anything in its way that threatens them. There's a threat for them, they eat them. What's that? Guess what this is? Kriya Shema Amita. You know that thing where you're like, right? Some people don't know if they've ever said it. It's this blurry thing that they stick in front of their face and drool on every night. Apparently, it's like a lion killing prey. Right? This is Hashem talking, okay? It's not me. Someone says I'm exaggerating. I'm representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's going on over here? What's going on over here? The answer is that waking up is power, is being empowered, being driven, being focused. If you want to understand from Hashem's perspective, and you don't need a psychology textbook, okay? You'll notice that people who are depressed, they have a hard time waking up, right? It's one of the most common symptoms of depression is why? What do I have to get up for? And on the other hand, people who are driven, who are focused, who are motivated, they jump out of that bed because they have what to do in their day. Bilam saw in Klal Yisrael that we have a mission statement. We have something that focuses us. Shema, with tzitzis, with tefillin. We have a message for ourselves and for the world. We get up like that. And we get up with Shema, and we go to sleep with Shema. We're like a different Metzias that the world has never known. And the Maharal in Netzach Yisrael, Perek Nun Ches, brings a medrash. This is in Bamidbar Rabba Chav Chav. Heinam Kulavi Yakum. Ein Uma Kayotze Ba'umazos. There's no one like Klal Yisrael. Harei Hein Yishenim in Atarim Mitzvahs. They go to sleep and they're very tired. They don't want to get up. They get up like lions. Karin Kriya Shema. Umam Lichim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vinasim Karayas. And they're like lions. There's no other description. Umam Lichim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They go to Parnasa. Im Nitko Echemehem. O Mechabon Boimahem. If they're threatened, what do? They say Shema. And then they go to sleep. And they get rid of all the dangers of night through Shema. So the Maharal asks, and that's what he told, he says, what is going on over here? We weren't the first to be bothered over here. He says that Klal Yisrael has no chatzitza, separation, between us and Hashem. We're totally attached to Him. That's why we keep going to this thing that Hashem is one. We wake up with it, we go to sleep with it. We mention it in the middle of the day. If we're nervous, and if someone threatens us, person's mekabel ol malchus shamayim. He says we're involved in such high level things. We don't realize what it is to be a yid. We're attached to Olam Haba. We're attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And these are things, like, you have to picture yourself like a lion. I remember I was on a plane. This was a little weird, but, you know, planes are crazy with kids, right? Kanai and Ahara, a whole family on a plane. It's interesting, you know, it's interesting. But I remember on the plane, we're getting everyone into their seats. That's the chaos. And Shimi wants to sit with Bracha, and Bracha wants to sit with Fegalei, and everyone just get in your seat, right? And then you want to make a Kiddush Hashem and show that Charedim are calm on the plane. You're like, get in your seat, right? Anyway, so my wife was fielding all this, and this Chiloni fellow says to my wife, "You're like a lioness." I was getting nervous, like, what's going on over here? She's like, he's like saying this whole poem about how she's taking her cubs. Really, she's just putting this. But you know what? Now I think about it. I'm like, I was watching this. I'm like, my wife's a lioness. This is a Dover Gadol. There are big things happening over here. We're part of a Jewish family. We're going to do a mitzvah. We're going for the right reasons. We're going to make it through this plane, and she's going to get us there. She's a lioness. And we are lions. We're doing dvarim gedolim ad ma'od. And there's a very big mechanech who does what's called symposiums. Symposium's like a fancy word for a question and answer, right? Symposiums, right? It's actually an Israeli mechanech, so they call it a symposatzia. You know, I love these words. You don't even need to learn Hebrew. Just say everything with atzia at the end, okay? So he's doing his symposatzia, and all of a sudden, a bachur asked a question that was the hardest question he said he ever got. He said, "My rebbeim tell me to get up in the morning. They say, Teira, Teira, Tzuras Adam, be a man, Tzuras Adam, Teira, Teira. I don't buy it. Give me a reason to wake up in the morning." He said, he was like, whoa. He was flustered. But then he wrote an article about this, what he should have said to him. You know what he should have said to him? He said, I should have said to him, go to bed. Go to bed. You think I'm doing you a favor? You're not even caring about your life enough that you have what to wake up for? Just go to bed. Just go to bed. If this is where you are, that you need people to do hishtachavaya to you in order to get you up so that you should live a day of your life, you're not worth my time. You're not worth my time. And it's a fascinating thing. There's so many people who have a chip on their shoulders anytime they have to be put into action, right? Ki'ilu, someone's wronging them. And you know what the mechanchim will say? I'm not paid enough to get you out of bed. You get yourself out of bed. The only reason I'm getting you up is because I can't stand that you don't have any focus in your life. I can't stand that you're laying rotten without any goals, without any values, without any reason to wake up like a lion every single day to be filled with life and excitement and reasons to be here. And it's even more than that. It's even more than that. This is not just the time we do Kriyat Shema, but the Gemara in Brachas throws us for a loop. The Gemara in Brachas and Daf Yud Beis said they wanted to put another Parsha in Kriyat Shema. Another Parsha in Kriyat Shema. What Parsha did they want to put into Kriyat Shema? It says Parshas Balak. Parshas Balak. Why Parshas Balak? So the Fi the Girsa of the Marsha, and it stems with Rashi, but it's not the same pasuk. But Lefi the Girsa of the Marsha, it's because the pasuk of Am Kelavi Yakum, we get up like lions. We wanted, Hashem would have wanted our Kriyat Shema to have that pasuk. There's only one problem. The Gemara says it's too long of a parsha, and it's a Tircha Ditzibura, so we can't put it in. That means in Lumdus, every morning and every night, we should have said the whole parsha of Balak. Why? Just to say the words that we are the nation who wakes up and goes to sleep with Shema? Can I ask you a question? Why would we put that in Shema? That's not Shema. That's called the halachas of Shema. Open a Shulchan Aruch and you'll find out that Shema has a time. Why is that the importance of Shema that we get up with Shema? that we're zaris to get out of bed? And the answer is, it's the same thing as Shema. It's not a technical thing when Zman Kriya Shema is. Shema is about focus. Getting up is focus. So in theory, if a person's going to say Shema, he has to always, every day, remind himself that he's got to get out of bed on time. That he has a whole life ahead of him. He has a whole day. That would be part of Kriya Shema. People who get up have what to do. Have what to do. You know, in Bein HaZmanim, I tell people, the most simple etz I tell them to do is to just get up on time. I said, it doesn't even matter what you do in your day. I mean, of course it matters, but I'm telling you, I said, you're going to feel good about your whole Bein HaZmanim if you get up every day on time. I said, define what on time is, and it should be within halacha of Zman Kriya Shema. Do something that's doable for you, but you will feel great after Bein HaZmanim. Why? He didn't do anything the rest of the day. I'm sure maybe he did a little, but because he's alive. He's alive. I got up. I had a reason to get out of bed. A noble reason. Now I want to get a little deeper. We're going to get a little deeper. And that is the following. We talked about love, right? I would like to talk about fear, but not the regular type of fear. Something very interesting. There's another type of fear that's not called fear like scary fear. It's called fear of love. And I'm going to explain myself. The Or HaTzadikim in Avos Hashem, in Shar Avos Hashem, says that there's love, and then there's something called fear of love. It's not regular fear. It's fear of when you love somebody so much that you're afraid you're going to ruin the relationship. It's not a regular type of fear. It's not that they're going to hurt you, Chas V'Shalom. It's that you love them so much and you're scared that if you do this, you might ruin the love. It's a beautiful type of experience to care about someone so much that this is your situation. And in the Sefer HaYashar HaMiuchas L'Rabbeinu Tam and Shar Chamishi, he says the same thing. He says that real high-level yira is when you love someone so much that you're afraid of them because of the love. You're afraid of them because of the relationship. And I like to discuss this. He explains it's shaykh to marriage. We always like marriage advice. You know, the guys here who are married, you can still there's still hope for you. You can always change. And the young boys, you know, be optimistic that it'll go well. So, sorry, I just have to deal with too much. Anyway, but there's something fascinating in marriage, okay? And this, all the Bachram know this about these nerdy married guys, right? I'm also one of them. They're always looking at their watch at different times. Bracha Feig is going to be angry at you? Were you? Well, it's almost time for dinner. They scurry away, right? What happens? They're always looking at their watch, especially in Shana Rishona, but it lasts quite a few years. It's all about time. It's all about time. Coming here on time. You know why? If you show up late, I got a ride from someone just recently from the Mir, right? And he took me on to my house. And then I guess it took him a little extra time. All of a sudden there's ringling a ding a ding. Who is it? It's Bracha Feiga. She goes, Hi, honey. I have an explanation. I'll speak to you later. Bye. Right? She's already, she knows he missed the house by 5 seconds. The Rebbetzin already starts calling. A little extreme, but happens, right? Why are they so fixated on time, right? And this is a very good etza. Just make sure to be on time, right? Because time shows that you care about them. They sit there at home and they're really bored, especially they're on jobs. They go, David loves me, David hates me. David loves me, David hates me. And then if David comes home on time, she goes, David loves me. But if you come home just 2 minutes later, you know what she says? David hates me. And now you're going to be up till 5 a.m. dealing with this problem for 3 weeks. Why? Because it's a statement of priorities. It's a statement. Sometimes you miss something. You miss a graduation. You miss a siyum. You miss a simcha. You miss some occasion. And it expresses something in the relationship. Rachmana litzlan. People say, do you think Hashem cares? Right? You go to Shtiblach, get up at 10 o'clock, right? Go to Shtiblach, you'll see all these people with longer beards than you'll ever have. Right? They go, Shema Yisrael! Right? And you feel like you're the least religious of all of them. So if they can miss Kriya Shema, so you're okay too, right? Right? We'll all go down together. Right? Right? What is, you think Hashem cares? Look how long this guy's beard is. Agav, I want you to know, in a certain town, I shouldn't be saying this, but I'm going to say this. In a certain town in Eretz Yisrael, they were arguing that the minions should stop after once Zman Kriya Shema is over. That's what it is in Ramat Eshkol. After Zman Kriya Shema, you can't find a minion in Ramat Eshkol because the time is over. So they wanted to do this in another place that minyanim would go 10, 11, 12, right? Sasa v'simcha, especially if you have a minion challenge, right? If you have a minion challenge, you could chop shachris and mincha. Just go from one shtibel to the next. You get shachris right now. You can even do mincha first. Try mincha first, then you'll have more time for shachris. Just reverse it. It's like the wild, right? Right? So they were saying, you know, maybe we should stop this shtiblach from going from 10 to 11, 12. So he said, the Rav said, we can't. He says, the people who daven at that time, that's all they have left in Yiddishkeit. That's all they have left. You want to daven with people like that? You guys have a lot more, right? Right? I would also scream Shema very loud if I missed the Zman. Right? Let's see somebody scream Shema on time. On time. But we know that we appreciate time. In the most silly things, we appreciate time. Okay? Hashem doesn't care about time. You know how much you care about time, but Hashem doesn't care about time. Okay, game 7. New York Knicks, right? They should be Zocha, right? And what happens? Right? The buzzer. All of a sudden, he takes a shot at the 3-point line, right? Out of frustration, right? Swish, right? They were down by 2, right? Could have been Lehudim Heights or something, right? But if you look, and then he took the shot, right? So I don't understand. All these alcoholics in the crowd, nobody complains to the referee. Why does everyone, hey, give him a check. He got a swish. Look what he did. He applied himself. The team tried. That's not a game. That's not enjoyable. There's no challenge in that. Buddy, very nice. You could have done that in a pickup game. The buzzer is the buzzer. Right? And what about those cool people? You know, like they're Russians and they're Chinese and Japanese and from all different countries. They're playing chess. I don't play chess, but you know what I want about chess? I would want to press the clock. They do their move and they press that clock. Right? That is living. I would want to play chess just to press that thing. I've never been Zocha to press it. Do you guys have it in the locker room, the clock? We've got to get somebody to sponsor that clock, okay? But why? Because time shows significance to everything. Even the most silly games have a chashivas from time. But it gets much more serious because where does time come from? Do you know how we have 12 hours or 24 hours, 12 and 12? There are 12 combinations of Shem Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Every hour of the day, another tziruf of Shem Hashem is revealed. And at night, another 12 are revealed. Okay? And then, if you look in the Sefer Yetzirah, which is the book of creation, the Gra discusses there are 1,080 parts to an hour, which the Rambam brings, but the Rambam doesn't explain why. And the Gra explains all of the different combinations of Shem Hashem that equal 1,080. In every hour, there's another gilui of Shem Hashem in the world. This is not simple time. Time is not simple. Time is becoming big. We once mentioned the gematria, right? Zman. The word time is gematria behema adam. It's turning an animal into man. A person who capitalizes on his time is able to do different things. The Balatanya, the Heilige Balatanya, they said that in jail he was able to tell time. You know how? He was able to tell what sirufim of Shem Hashem were going on at that moment. He goes, it must be 6:35 right now. Based on the tzirufei Shem Hashem that were necessary at that time. Zman Kriyashma, you have to be aligned for it. There's so much to get up for. We have no idea what we're involved with. We are a people with a serious mission statement. And sometimes it's a war. And it's scary. Right? It's scary. Because it seems like you could just chill here. You could do whatever you want. Hashem is one. And when a person doesn't take this seriously, everything falls apart. This is the thing that has to be the most basic to us, that there's a day and that things are calculated and that things should be when they're supposed to be. Once a person doesn't do that, they're basically just chilling with Hashem. They're just chilling with Him. It's a big chill. And I want to end with something incredible. This is incredible. To show you where this war started. Something that shook me this week. Shook me. There's a Gemara in Saita on Daf Mem Beis. You know Goliath, right? The famous Goliath, right? Everybody's heard of Goliath. Goliath, according to the Gemara, wasn't a beast. They call people a beast today. Wasn't a beast. The Gemara calls him a binyan, which means he was a building. That's not a beast. He's a building. He was a pashut, a binyan, okay? And you know what he did? He had the strangest behavior. He challenged that, you know, nobody can take me on in Klal Yisrael, and he was a binyan. He was a building, okay? And everybody was scared. What did Goliath do? What was his technique? Says the Gemara, Vayigash haplishti hashkim ve'erev. He got out there and scared Klal Yisrael in the morning and the night. Amar Rav Yochanan kidei levatlon mekriyashma shakras ve'arvis. He wanted to scare the living daylights out of them during Zman Kriyashma. That was his technique. And he went 40 days, Kenegan, the 40 days the Klal Yisrael was makabel the Torah. What is going on over here? So the Be'er Sheva says that Goliath was a smart man. He knew the Rashi that we said a couple weeks ago, that even if Klal Yisrael is in a war and they have one schluss called Shema, they could survive the war. Right? Because that type of clarity means that your life is worth living. So Goliath knew that, so he said, I'm going to mess up their Shemas. That's the first thing he tried to do, was mess up their Shema. But the Karen Iris says something else over here. Something scary, incredible. He says that Goliath was that message that there's not one over here. Look at me. I'm not an ox. I'm a building. Okay? Nobody could take me on. And he started cursing out Rachman al-Tzlan Hashem Yisbarach over and over and over. David comes in and the psukim say, you'll excuse me for saying this, but this is what a plishti, what Goliath called David. Vayabet haplishti vayirid David. Vayvazehu, we made fun of him. Kiyayanar admonim yefei mara. He was a pretty boy. He looked at David. You send me this pretty boy? Right? David, handsome young man, looks like he's never done anything, and he didn't have any weapons with him. He turned down all the armor of Shaul. Says, I'm going in there with my slingshot. With my slingshot. What did he do over here? He took five rocks. Okay? This is a Zayar that the Karen Ari brings, and I'm bringing you the Arizal's added edition. Five rocks, connected the first five words of Shema, Yisrael, Hashem, Elokeinu, Hashem. Okay? He took those, and then he used a slingshot to put it all together. That was the Echad. Six, a weapon of Shema. He took his weapon of Shema, and he tells Goliath, listen to what he says. Vayomer David el Plishti, Atoboy loy becherev v'chanes v'kidon. You come to me with swords and a javelin. Anoichi bo alecha b'shem Hashem svakas elokei marakas Yisrael asher charafta. I'm coming with Hashem, nothing else. The Hashem that you just cursed out. Hayoma zeh yisagercha Hashem b'yadi. I'm going to take you down. Right? This is the first serious trash talk in the history of Klal Yisrael. I'm going to chop off your head. He's a binyan. Everybody was running from this man, right? You're going to be bird fodder. Whoa! Right? What's going on? Why is David trash talking? You know what he's saying? He's saying, liar! Liar! You're saying that there's another show in town. You're saying that there's something scary in my life. That's not my relationship with Ribbono Shel. You're saying that not all the dots don't connect. You're saying that there's not one thing. you are going to be taken down. And he killed him with Shema. The Zohar says he took this Shema missile and it just hit his forehead, and there goes Goliath. There goes Goliath. And we have to realize that we're in a war. We're in a war. This is a very hard war. We're in a war of very confusing things that go on in the world. And Hashem created the number two. And the number two is the source of apikorsis, of the ability to say there's not a Hashem, of the ability to say that he doesn't run the world, of the ability to say that Hashem's not nice to me, he doesn't take care of me. That number two, there's a war against that number two. And whoever is able, every day, without fail, to not forget that there's one Bari Olam in the morning, in the night, at any point of challenge, such a person is Hashem's man. That's who Bilam saw, the greatness of Klal Yisrael, Am Kelavi Yakum. And in every value system, there are certain things we don't do, right? I haven't dealt with people who've killed anybody yet. It's the only thing I haven't dealt with, really. I have dealt with that sort of, but I don't want to get into hell. But I haven't really dealt with it fully. I haven't dealt with it fully, okay? Why? Because there are certain things in a person's ethical system where they say, I will never do this. And what I'm telling you right now as a friend, because I love all of you, is that Shema is something we have to put in our ethical system. There is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has a calculated way of dealing with things. He loves us and gives us opportunities, and we could miss the boat. We could miss the time. We could come late to dinner. We could miss the siyum. We could miss these opportunities. And chas v'shalom, it could have an effect on the relationship. But if we're there with Hashem, we're there in the morning and we're there at night, we're the only people left who have things clear. I'm sure the Christians are giving up. I think they're running out of strength, the Christians. They're just running out of strength. They're giving up all their values. They just read they've had enough. They're tired, right? If you have a fake God, so there's only so many hundreds and thousands of years you could do this, and they're just like, I give up. I'm getting my iPhone, and I'm just like, give it to the Pope, and we're just done with this whole thing. Like, let's just find a summer home somewhere in Greece, right? But we're not. We're going to be here till the end. We're going to be here. The Ezras Hashem, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We should all be zeicha to live ba'achdus Hashem, to live with Kiddush Hashem, and be zeicha to kol habrachas haksubas b'Torah. There will not be a shmooze next Wednesday, but there will be a shmooze for Bein HaZmanim on Monday.